Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Dirt Ends Break continues.
So your wife tells you something. I need to know, where are we going with this?
Andy Dirt Johnson.
She said, you know what I think we should contemplate buying? She wants to put our kid on a leash.
Brandon Sprague.
It's like seeing a tiger in a zoo. You just feel awful for it.
More Dirt and Sprague.
Look, she's an unbelievable mom. She carries all the weight in our family. I have to preface all this because she says I only throw her under the bus on the air.
So you just threw her under
on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two. You did a good job. This is terrible music for that open.
That one is a little
just
slow.
Like baby music.
I haven't had any issue with all the other
about
ones. Yeah,
leash on children, but
you know, I mean, maybe that's what he's doing there. Look at the big brain on swag.
Yeah, I guess
giving you some baby music.
I guess
for your baby open. Put a leash on your kids yet?
Well, no. We know this about swag.
I'm a closet Artist Gilmore fan.
Yeah, he is.
By the way, you had some luchador mask advice.
Yeah,
somebody said. Somebody that went to a quinceanera, just wear a nice button-up and slacks. Be prepared to get hammered, and that's when you bust out the mask. A couple of cocktails deep, then you can open that thing up.
Me and, like, zip. Somebody's Mexican brother doing elbow drops onto the cake table.
Boom!
Would be like an all-time moment.
All-time moment for you.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Hopefully there's a couch somewhere you could throw somebody on, get a choke slam involved.
Might have to sacrifice my well-being by doing an Eddie Guerrero frog splash off the top rope.
Is there a body of water anywhere that I could jump into? Is there water wrestling happening anywhere near here?
Binary Brewing and The Fan have teamed up for the only Fan IPA available for a limited time. Taste The Fan with Binary Brewing's signature West Coast IPA. Go to Binary Brewing's Beaverton location. Ask them about their only fan. So good, only The Fan and Binary Brewing can pull it off. A lot to get to in the second hour of the radio program. But we start with some Blazer extravaganza stuff.
Yeah, we got an interesting weekend ahead for the old Portland Trail Blazers.
We do?
I think so. Does Young Hansen really suck? And hello, Ja Morant.
See, I'm more interested in that.
Oh, I am too, but... What if Young Hansen's really bad?
I mean, can we pull up his stats from last summer league? Because
sure.
His first play was the backdoor pass, and we lost our minds. Were his stats even that good?
Because
we acted like he dominated the dojo, and we're like, okay, he's ready to go. And then he's one of... He
averaged 10 points, 5 rebounds, and 3 assists. He shot 33% from 3.
He is statistically... has to be in the running for one of the worst Blazer first-round picks of all time.
Yes. Yes.
Did he shoot above 26% from the field in games?
In actual games or in summer league games?
No, in actual games.
In actual games?
Summer league, who cares?
No, I don't believe that he did, Bob.
Okay.
He averaged 2 points per game.
What were his percentages?
1 rebound, half of an assist. He played 7 minutes per game in 43 games. He shot 31% from the floor.
Oh, my God.
You ready for the three-point percentage? 11.9.
From a stats standpoint...
He took 42 on the year and he made 5 of them.
I'm going to say it. From a stats standpoint and just an eyeball test, we're doing this big analytics versus what, you know,
what's
you know
your
ball.
Gut tell you about Young Hansen? He sucks.
That's the worst first-round pick to play in their rookie season in Blazer history.
Yeah, I heard Danny yesterday say they're hoping that he's so good that they don't have to play him in all their games, and that would certainly be a nice problem to have. I just went to the opposite of, like, what if it still looks really rough, and you're in year two, and you can't even...
They already told you what it is.
That's yeah, I get
it.
I already knew he wasn't going to play in regular season games. This is summer league, man.
Reasons I've heard for why they didn't draft Cedric Coward and not taking Carter Bryant and...
Could use some wings with length right now. Hindsight 2020. Although we were all saying it a year ago. Remember when you took a center the year before in the first round?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Just checking.
Don't sleep on Ja.
Ja Morant is doing a lot of pub right now. The Ja Morant 4s are being released. The Ja 4s.
The Ja 4s. I hear people say really good things about his shoes.
Yeah, Ja feel me?
Very popular shoes.
He had this video. He was asked about best dunkers.
Zion Williamson or Ja Morant?
Me.
Ja Morant or Dominique Wilkins?
Me. From any name you say after this song, it's going to be me. You name
Don't sleep on Ja.
He's a good dunker.
Ja Morant will be introduced on Saturday with, I think, Hyken, Quick, I'd imagine Freeman.
I think so, but I don't know.
Is the O going to send Bill Orem?
I don't know, but I hope that they do. I'd love to see a Bill Orem, Ja Morant back and forth.
Does Ja Morant know about the Bill Orem stuff, you think?
I don't know if he knows the specific details, but I'm sure it was loud enough to where there's a columnist saying things. There's a reverberation that gets to his circle.
Ja, there's a white guy in Portland, man, and he's saying this. Okay, good to know.
Yes, let's be on our best behavior, everybody involved.
But that's how we're going to get introduced to Ja Morant. I don't believe we're going to get any Joe Cronin, but Saturday we should be hearing from Ja Morant at Summer League down in Vegas.
I mean, look, I'm excited. The only thing we have so far is the Mike Anori quotes from the Quick article of his visit to him in South Carolina and how eager he sounded to be back involved in basketball, how hungry he was for another opportunity, how aware he was that this is probably his last chance, right? He's going to get one more go at it. And so all the messaging so far has been good. I imagine in the press conference that will continue. As we often say on this show, it's very difficult to lose a press conference. Just come out, say the right things, you'll be fine. Time will tell if you're actually telling the truth and you've put some of your off-the-court issues behind you and you're going to be a model citizen and a model teammate inside the locker room. Like, only time will answer that question. But I'm still excited, man. I don't know what to expect of him next year. I don't know where his game's going to go. I certainly remain excited about the trade in a vacuum of Grant and Murray for Ja Morant. But it's just there's going to be a weird nature of, is he going to hold up the jersey? Is he wearing the jersey? Like, just Ja Morant in a Blazer jersey is going to still take a while for me to get used to, considering how big he was, everything he's been in the news for the last couple of years. That's still going to be one of those, like, man, that's going to take a while to sink in.
Well, so Nike is unveiling the Ja Morant 4s. The shoe is very popular. He has been very questionable as an endorser.
Nike needs that money, though, man.
But Nike is doing the full ad campaign. They did the tease video yesterday. He's making the rounds right now. He'll be introduced as a Blazer. It's a real big push of, it's time to restart this.
Here is your second chapter.
You have been hurt. You've had some off-court issues. It's not worked for you in Memphis. Okay, here is your new start in Portland in the backyard of Nike. Let's re-push everything. Ja Morants are one of the more popular shoes Nike has right now. I don't know where everybody is out there on Ja Morant. The kids love the shoes.
Yes.
The shoes are very popular. So they sell well. The Ja 4s are coming out. He's got his new press conference. It's more just like the idea of what Ja Morant was, and can he be close to that again?
Mm-hmm.
Now, look, we've talked about the roster stuff and how unbalanced it all is. There's no doubt. I'll be very curious of all of this, man. Just following the journey of the athlete that gets the restart, and were the team doing it?
Yes.
Right? Like, all of us had them trading for Trey Murphy or Jaylen Brown or Giannis or Anthony Davis. Not a single soul breathing oxygen on their bingo card had Ja Morant is even an idea of something the team would do. And they did it. And so I think you got local people that have no idea what the organization is dictating and deciding, because I haven't seen any reporting or heard anything from anybody that suggests they know or have a clue what the team is doing. So they're operating not only on the quiet, but like the super extra quiet. And they're going directions with their roster so far that are almost opposite of what we thought they would. And all of that is paired with the restart of a guy that burst onto the scene, became instantly the best player in his draft class, and that included Zion Williamson, the way he played. One of the best young stories in the league, to punch a 17-year-old in the face at his property, although he was in self-defense mode. To be fair.
Let's be fair.
Brandished guns on social media.
Yeah.
Got hurt, got suspended.
Don't forget the red dot pointed from the group vehicle at an employee for the Pacers. Is it the Pacers employee?
Well, and also the mall.
Yeah,
remember
the mall, these guys were circling
around a Foot Locker employee or something? Yeah.
There's a handful of them.
You got some off-court issues. Yes. And his game has not been particularly great. He's not as effective from shooting the three. And so it's just, I'm going into it, and I've seen a lot of Blazer fans, I think, ultimately talk themselves into...
I mean, we'll talk ourselves into a young Hunts and Summer League.
You're not wrong.
That doesn't take a lot.
You're not wrong, but the elements of what they do need, shot creation, guy that can get his own shot, that's real desperate stuff that this organization needs. The problem is he can't shoot. All of that circling, with the release of the shoe, the press conference Saturday...
Yeah.
It's just been a fascinating time in Portland the last week and a half on the Ja Morant issue.
Well, and I'll go back to the Gary Parish interview we did when the trade went down, going to Memphis to find out more about him and what the last couple of years would look like. And,
yeah.
And one of the things that stood out to Gary when we talked to him was that while he said some of the right things, there has not been a lot of contrition. There has not been a lot of remorse for apology, whatever the phrasing or word you want to use, of like, man, I really regret X, Y, and Z, and I'm so sorry for what I put the fan base and the organization through. Like, he has not gotten in trouble in a while. He stayed clean in that regard, but there hasn't been a lot of regret on his end of how things went down and how his own actions and poor decision-making led to a lot of this stuff crumbling in Memphis. And so that's honestly one of the biggest questions. And if he doesn't have that, it doesn't mean he loses the press conference or I'm out on Ja Morant. I just think it's a sign of growth. I think it's a sign of maturity. Kids are going to make mistakes. And when you further understand his backstory of where he went from as a no-star recruit to Murray State to a top-five pick to the next face of the NBA, like, it was a 3 to 4 year gap where he went from nothing to mega superstar. And not a lot of people handle that well. And you get bad people around you. You make poor decisions. I'm not necessarily, I don't want to throw him out because of those mistakes. But I do think a big step of growth is showing and acknowledging, like, yeah, dude, I messed up, man. That was really dumb. I cleaned this up. I'm not around these people anymore. This won't happen again. I truly regret my actions. He gets some of that. I think he'll hit a grand slam in the press conference. But to this point, we haven't seen a lot of it. It is going to be a fascinating experiment, man. And I'm with you. There's been a lot of teams and players who have found a way for either poor play redemption tour or you've gotten in trouble redemption tour, and it's turned out fantastic for them. I mean, it's obviously apples to oranges comparison, but look who just won the Super Bowl at quarterback for Seattle. It was Sam Darnold. The majority of Seahawks fans a year ago were screaming, why the hell are we getting Sam Darnold? Did you watch the playoff game against the Rams?
Yeah.
Did you watch the last game of the season against the Lions? He couldn't complete a pass. This guy's had one functioning career in his good year in his NFL career, and it was because he had Justin Jefferson and a good offensive coach around him, and this isn't going to work out. And the guy went out and won the Super Bowl the next year. And so I know that's apples to oranges. He had not been in trouble off the field, but it can be fun, man. If you find yourself in the right spot with a hungry guy, a motivated player, an incentivized player, like, that selling point is very easy to make for me of the buying low on Ja Morant. It's up to Ja Morant now to go, fulfill the destiny, and can you become one of these guys who we look back on? Man, remember when that crumbled in Memphis, and then Portland was the team that helped you be the Phoenix rising from the ashes?
I think two athletes in the last 10 years of my life have made me completely reconsider the idea of certain guys will never be X, Y, and Z, or redemption is not real. Now, look, some guys I think are fairly obvious, right? Mm-hmm. But the idea that Sam Darnold won the Super Bowl last year and J.R. Smith was one of the lead contributors to a championship team are two great examples in sports of athletes that we went, oh, I thought I knew who you were and I've been way wrong on you.
Yeah.
Like, Bill Simmons literally said out loud in a podcast when the Cavs got J.R. Smith, J.R. Smith, you can't win a title with J.R. Smith.
And they won a title.
And LeBron James said, hold my beer. And J.R. Smith was crying in a post game because of how much he wanted to thank his parents.
Right.
Sam Darnold comes to Seattle after having a disappointing end with the Vikings. They choose to go Niner over him. And he won the whole bleeping thing. So,
and was great in the NFC title game. Elite in the NFC title game.
If they fail, I think if they fail, it's just going to be roster construction. It's not, well, Ja Morant.
Right.
I don't have a lot of high hopes he's going to shoot from three very well, but no. I think with the ramp up of everything, I am putting a barometer bar, like, I'm setting a bar of, like, I do expect him to get close to what he was at Memphis before some of this stuff unraveled. That's my expectation, at least in my head,
yes.
And it should be kind of every Blazer fan's head, not this, whimsical little bullcrap that that fans do here in this city of like, just give it time. It's like, no, go in with an expectation that this needs to be good.
Here is the bar.
Instantly.
Hit the bar.
They made the trade to bring him in, and it was their big offseason roster move.
You need him to play at a high level.
So you need him to play at a high level. They are talking about him as if he's back to high level.
Right.
And so that is my expectation. John Morant will talk to the media on Saturday. We'll have that audio for you on Monday. But yesterday, Dan Ryan, Portland City Council member, was on primetime.
Love me some Dan Ryan. He's been great the entire time.
He talked with our guy...
Wright Gazaway.
Thank you. K2, good friend of the program. And he was on yesterday with primetime. He is a clear yes vote guy. Grew up here, lifelong sports fan. I loved how he described becoming a sports fan because of siblings. He's like, I was kind of the nerdy Howard Costell guy being a part of the sports scene.
It's also very personal for him because he is the council person for the Albina district. And so he certainly understands what will happen to his district and the tax dollars and the loss of, you know, it just, this is a big one for him. It's in his backyard.
Here was Dan Ryan yesterday. Adam Silver and the Board of Governors came in when Tom Dundon bought the team. Here is what Dan Ryan said he told Adam Silver to his face.
Yeah, and with the commissioner, it was more like, I said it like this. I said to him, I go, I know that we have to have a term sheet that you can get behind and that you can defend. And I don't think you want to be the NBA commissioner that loses, in my opinion, is like the Green Bay of the NBA. Like, that's not good. Your brand isn't great, commissioner. No offense, but it's not. And I don't think you want it to be tarnished by being the commissioner that watches the Blazers exit.
I love that argument. I love
hilarious,
that.
Hilarious, by the way, to say that to somebody like Adam Silver.
Hey, guess what? He's right. Adam Silver, you're a joke. Like, you're the least respected commissioner of professional sports.
I don't, what district number is Albina District?
I think it's four or five.
Okay, six, seven, eight, think, nine. Yeah, you know, it's a number.
Two. I was wrong. Two.
The two district.
Yeah, the two.
I love the idea of a second district city council member saying to the commissioner
of the NBA.
Of the NBA.
Your brand sucks.
Your brand sucks.
What are you going to do about it, Adam?
Hey, big ears. Hey, Skeletor. You want to lose Green Bay?
Go back, go. He's not wrong. That's why I love it. That would be a horrible look for Adam Silver to let it happen. And Adam Silver knows it's a horrible look. We played the audio a couple of weeks ago of the Steve Ballmer stuff when he was trying to get into the NBA and there was a team for sale. Mm-hmm. He called the league, said, I want to buy him and I want to move him to Seattle. And Silver immediately told him, like, no, we don't want teams moving.
All-time bad decision by him, by the way.
Yeah, should have done it because
should've
the Clippers
will
always be second fiddle in L.A. Clippers should move to Seattle and just get him out of Los Angeles.
Should not be two L.A. teams. Should not be two New York-based teams.
Nobody cares about the Clippers. Nobody cares about the Nets. And it sucks to have two teams playing in markets that genuinely don't care about them. But I digress. Silver at the time said, we don't want that to happen. And so I think that's where you're hitting him where it hurts. Like, he knows that this is a big deal. He knows that it's a bad look for the league. He knows the black eye that it will create. And so I think making that argument was a really smart one from Dan Ryan. I'm with you on the picture of him telling how much does Adam Silver make a year? Like $30 million or something crazy, probably more than that. Him telling him your image is bad, but he's not wrong. The image of Adam Silver is a net negative right now, I would argue, by sports fans.
Well, what's one thing you've heard about Tom Dundon? They brought in Ja Morant, who we talked about. What's one thing you've heard about Tom Dundon with the acquisition of Ja Morant?
He likes to buy low. He's looking for good deals, bargain shopping.
Distressed assets is one that local media members will say until they can't breathe anymore. Over and over again. It's Tom Dundon. He operates on the cheap. Distressed asset. Okay, cool. Dan Ryan said yesterday, literally on the radio station, that when he talked to Tom Dundon, because Dundon didn't really say much, he said he was very nice, but he's a shrewd business guy where you could tell he just isn't going to give you a lot. He just said, my only job here is to win.
Yeah. That's all I care about.
No loyalty to the city, no loyalty to the state. He's from Texas. He just wants the team to win, and he wants to be in the big boy club, and he's here. I still think the city, I continue to remain steadfast, and the city is going to approve the funding. Now, the terms of the lease are going to be fascinating because I think that's the next big hurdle because you need to get Dundon to agree to those terms before he puts his name on it. And we're over here like, yep, 20, 25-year lease. What if Dundon says, no, I'll only do 15?
Right.
What are you going to do as a
city?
What
is
a
wiggle room there? How much negotiating room do you actually have?
I'll be honest with you.
In any of the stuff.
The state of the city, you should say yes. Because that buys you 15 years to get your ass together and stop being what you have become.
Right.
You know, I just, that's going to be the next hurdle once they get past the funding. But I thought he said something really interesting yesterday of basically framing Portland and how it's not in good shape. We all know this, how it needs to be more business friendly. That's a huge problem right now. I mean, I know enough business owners in my life that tell me what it's like to go through the permitting process and everything. And it's like, geez, that's a nightmare.
Not fun.
It's not fun, and it's not very business friendly.
No.
He described Portland to Tom Dundon as buying low on a stock.
Smart move.
And I thought, there is not a better person maybe in all of sports ownership that you could say that to.
Right.
That gets them to not ever publicly get excited, but internally to say, oh, I can get a lot of what I want. I will. And then what can this mean for me in business? Because yes, for him in Raleigh, it's meant a lot of money.
Yes, it has.
So what can it mean for him in a city as a distressed asset in total to come in here, get his renovation, and then start to build the Albina district up with the Uncle Phil money? And then him look around and go, you know what I like? I like the experience that fans get. Oh, Truist Park in Atlanta? Oh, you're telling me they made another $180 million by having like a ballpark district? Well, there's nothing in this area. I'm going to build a couple things up. Like, yep. I'm not saying he's going to invest. He has not made any commitments to that.
No, not yet.
Just simply pointing out a guy who is really good at business, known for distressed asset, being told to his face, you have bought low on a stock right now, and the city needs to get the rest together, get the funding, approve, make a lease, get the agreement, and then start working together to get the city back to what it is, a city that we all love.
Yeah, I thought the Ryan interview was great. I thought the argument he made to Silver was fantastic. I love that he said that to the commissioner of the league, and I think he's certainly a shrewd communicator, because the argument he made to Dundon, I'd imagine, is one that sells and sticks out to Dundon that he will remember. And it's been very refreshing to see interviews and public comments from somebody who was on that city council, who clearly has a level head and understands what's at play here. And it's not just simply playing politics with an issue for clicks and attention and a re-election campaign. He understands the dollars and cents of it and what the negative aspect would be if you are not to get this deal done. And so shout out to him for being willing to come on. I love both arguments he made to Silver and Dundon. And hopefully he's the guy that's driving the bus on the city council that gets a few others to say, when push comes to shove, I agree with you, we got to get this done.
I really would like a no voter on.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll come on.
Well, I just don't think they can defend the position.
No.
Because, one, they haven't seen anything written out. They're going off of what gets them the rah-rah retweet.
Yeah, they can defend their position in front of a rally of people who agree with their position. But I think when you push back on some of the points, it will fall apart.
I mean, I thought he did a great job. He's somebody that is a left-leaning politician.
No, they all are.
Well, I know, but he is somebody that's like telling you, like, I lean left, and these people are, they're. I mean, he didn't say that, but he's like, they're kind of crazy.
There's a lean and there's a fall over. Let's lean. How about not fall over?
How about we lean with trying to be smart about, you know, the economy locally here?
Right. Things are not going great.
Blazer coverage on the Fan is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi, one price, 5 years guaranteed. Xfinity, imagine that. Losing your job over this? Yay or nay? Next on The Fan.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is the fascinating thing about this athlete? We'll get to that coming up. Got a lot of football stuff to still dive into. Dirt and I are going to yell at each other today.
Oh, what are we going to yell about? Probably yell about microtransactions. That's a big thing in my life right now.
Microtransactions?
Have you not followed the controversy with the new college football video game this week? They are getting killed.
I almost put that in the Magic Hat. Did I guess people are really upset.
People are livid.
Are you one of them?
I haven't played it enough to be impacted by it, but essentially they've changed it to where you need to... Yeah. Oh, timeout? Okay.
You could play it as much as anybody in the city of Portland, and I'd still say it shouldn't impact you. It's a video game.
Well, if you want to advance to certain levels with your player or coach, you know what you need to do. Buy these tokens for $9.99. That's why people are living.
You want to beat Clemson on
you
the road?
You want to beat Clemson on the road?
That'll
be $4.99. You need some coach points? That's going to cost you another $4.
Oh, man.
So they are getting, I think yesterday was the official release, and it has been a rough week for EA Sports.
We've been doing this since 2012.
Yeah, long
from,
time.
From the night show dweller years to this. And it's been an interesting journey, to say the least.
Now we're morning dwellers.
Yeah. Waking up at 3 a.m.
Like gargoyles.
We've seen a lot in our industry. Have you ever seen what happened? I don't know if you've seen this story. Spurs fired their TV play-by-play announcer.
How do you miss this story?
Well, you know, it's possible for you to miss this story. Swag is smiling in his all-pink outfit today, yeah, as if he has also even seen this story.
Did you see the picture of the gal?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
So Jacob Didn't Toby, let me it. Get to the story, all
sorry,
right?
Sorry.
Shut up. Just shut up. Jacob Toby is the Spurs TV play-by-play announcer. At least he was.
Not anymore, Bob. You're out. You're out of a job.
And it came to light that he was cheating on his girlfriend. Now, how did it come to light? You might be asking, well, there's got to be a photo here.
Mm.
Yeah, there is, yeah. Except it's his girlfriend who hijacked his Instagram.
Ouch.
Showed a photo of him dancing with his really hot girlfriend, to his credit.
Very attractive. He's a good-looking dude, man. He's
good-looking cat.
Very good-looking cat.
No doubt about it. This is not an outkick. This is
no.
equal coverage.
Coverage good. 10 on 10, we
10
call
on
this.
10, yeah. 10 on 10 crap. And the post is him dancing with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
But the caption on the post says, "This is my girlfriend of 6 years, but I cheated on her with Lauren Waters and then at Lauren K. Waters. So feel free to continue following me if you really think I'm a good guy, because I'm not."
You got to shut down the account after that, right?
Yeah.
You got to delete. That's an immediate delete.
So it turns out Lauren Waters is the sister of Spurs guard Lindy Waters III,
yes,
who we all know from the heavy NBA finals.
I mean, of course. He played 30 minutes a night, I think, didn't he? Right? That's how it worked?
So I've seen people fired before for many a reason. I was reminded randomly, like a couple weeks ago, there was a baseball writer who used to work for Simmons' old site, Grantland.
Okay.
Do you remember this guy? He wrote about the Expos.
Dude.
He popped up in some stuff. His name popped up, and I went, oh, my God.
I don't want to say.
Jonah Carey.
Yes.
I still have his phone number in my Rolodex because his name popped up. And went, oh, my God. We had him on a couple times. He was exceptional as a guest talking baseball stuff.
Yes.
And then he beat his girlfriend.
Then
he went to prison, and he's in prison, I think.
Things have not gone well for him since.
Well, no. He's in the clink.
Yes.
But, you know, you see guys in our industry that get fired. And sometimes the industry just sucks. It just can. It's like, hey, financially can't afford this.
Right. Cuts happen all the time.
Right now you're seeing writer, we're going to go for AI instead of having you work. Okay, good luck with that. And it sucks. And a lot of friends that we've had get kicked out of the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And it blows. And it's not a testament to their job, their abilities. It's just what the industry is.
Yeah.
This is not something. I know guys have been fired for affairs before. The lead TV guy being fired, and I don't know if this is because it's the sister of
the
player.
That's 100% of the reason you fired.
So the player complained about this then.
I don't even know if the player has to complain.
You
don't sleep with a family member of a teammate or a guy on the team.
What if the player doesn't care? Was he fired for that, or was he fired because the girlfriend exposed it and the team was embarrassed by it?
I mean, that's probably some of it, but had it just been a random gal, and maybe the Spurs still fire him. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong here. I've never had to make the call.
I think it's the social media aspect. Unless Lindy Waters is out there like, yo, Lauren
I just
is
think
off
you don't,
limits.
Look, we know that one of the truest phrases of all time is you don't dip the pen in company ink, okay? You just don't sleep around at work. It's not going to end well for you.
Lindy Waters is your mark?
Is you're calling the game? You're sleeping. What if you cheat on his sister? Now you're calling play-by-play. Now I cheated on her. Now I'm calling play-by-play. Now he hates me. Now I got to deal with him in practice every day. What if you start dating and then you dump her? This is creating and opening a can of worms that if I'm an organization, I want nothing to do with.
So
this to me
is
not like, I saw our old friend Colin Coward. You can get fired for cheating on your girlfriend. It's ridiculous. I think it's because, to me, it's because he cheated with a teammate's, or not teammate, but a player on the team's sister.
This is all I'm saying. I think he was fired because of the post. I don't think it's because of it. Lindy Waters? How many minutes did Lindy Waters the third play this year?
You got to set a line, dude. You can't.
And it ain't Lindy Waters.
You can't sleep
it's
with
players. It's Devin Vassell and up.
No, the problem is
Devin Vassell and up. No. If you sleep with Devin Vassell's sister or Wemby's sister,
then it's done.
You're out of here.
I think there's also a line of play-by-play guy, and if you're Mike Breen, you might be able to get away with sleeping with Waters' sister.
Quite literally a bang.
But if you're this guy who I've never heard of before, I'm sorry. That bar is a lot lower to get over to fire you.
Yeah, I just...
I would have fired him too.
An NBA team
yeah.
will bring in a player who is sleeping with another player's mom, but the TV play-by-play guy cannot...
Allegedly.
Malik Beasley was dating Larsa Pippen while Scottie Pippen's kid...
Sorry, I thought you were going LeBron's mom with Delonte West back in the day.
I don't think we ever actually had evidence outside of the rumor mill.
That's why I said allegedly. I wanted to make sure.
Malik Beasley,
that did happen.
Actually dated Larsa Pippen and was teammates with Scottie's kid.
Again, if you're in, that's okay,
but Lindy Waters, the third sister's off limits for Jacob Toby.
There's a threshold here of he plays on the team. This guy's the play-by-play guy.
But Lindy Waters doesn't play.
I know. To your point, though, Malik Beasley, I think, did at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, he was a decent player for him.
He played more than Scottie's kid.
Right, which is why they allowed him to get away with it. Had the roles been reversed, Scottie's kid probably would have been cut. We're not letting this happen. I just, of all the people to cheat on, too, girlfriend's hot. What are we doing here, man? Come on.
You're on the road.
I'll get out of here.
I'm not. Look, I don't get it.
You're on the road. Can't go 2 weeks without having sex.
I'm not going to name Nate. You have one of your best friends told me that if he was on the road as a trucker for three weeks, he's an animal.
He's an absolute animal.
He
should be locked behind bars. Don't let him run freely in society.
Well, he is, and he's a father. So, like, all I'm saying is this dude's on the road. It sounds like Lindy Waters, the third sister, is quite around the team.
Yeah, she's always hanging around.
I don't cheat, but
I think you're defending cheating here. I think that's a takeaway of the segment. Are we getting a cheating defender here?
It does sound like I'm defending the cheating.
Like
I think people just underestimate the lifestyle. Yeah. I really do.
I'm with you there.
I've heard people who don't watch sports have conversations. Why do these pro athletes cheat on these people? And I'm like, first of all, where do you want me to start?
Exactly. Okay. Do you know what they trip over walking from the arena to the bus?
You're picking the litter every night, everywhere you go.
And also, we're on the road for a week and a half. Oh, we're back on the road for another week. We're back on the road.
Not to mention off days now, too, especially because you hardly ever play back-to-back. So you're just hanging in a city for a day.
Do you know how many broadcasters, not even players, how many broadcasters are probably doing stuff?
Right.
It's just that lifestyle.
I just want to play
lends itself to not being
I just love the thought of playing this
loyal.
Game out. Like none of our Swag has sisters. I don't have. You don't have. Do you have sisters? You don't have sisters, do you?
I have a stepsister.
You have a stepsister?
I consider
a sister. Okay, you consider a sister. You have a younger sister.
She's older, though.
Right. What's the reaction of a coworker? Because I think that would be...
If cheated on his wife on with my your wife, sister, with your sister, how would you feel about that?
Not good.
Thank you. Thank you. That would create a bit of what? Bit of workplace problem? Bit of drama? Bit of an issue?
Can you pull the... Not good.
Not good.
Can you pull that as a drop? That
then,
was a great
Then
drop.
You wouldn't be my dad anymore. You'd be my brother. Then it'd be weird. That's weird. Took a turn.
We got issues.
We got problems.
Well, and then what if, like, you
became
an uncle?
We don't got shooters. We got problems.
If you became an uncle to little Smudge the Third.
Now it's a whole thing.
Oh, my Lord.
But his exact answer is why you fire this guy. You can't do this. Go sleep with any gal in a bar you want. Okay? Every broadcaster's probably done it before.
I feel like
that's somebody involved with the team.
If you had a baby with Swag's sister, you'd have to name it Shohei to make him feel better. Mookie.
Am I back in good graces if the kid's named Mookie?
Mookie Johnson?
No.
What about Oral?
No.
Hershiser.
Oral.
Hershiser.
Wrong choice here.
The Bulldog.
No.
Yeah.
It's a great Dodger.
It's not going to play well.
Not going to play well.
Not going to play well.
Not going to go well.
Who would you be more upset with being with your sister on this show, me or him?
Oh, I think the vitriol would be equal.
It's a 50-50 split.
I can't beat him out by a percentage point here.
No. He does make a lot more old jokes than I do.
I think that's what makes us more in line to be brothers. I'm the one who sneaks up and gives him a wet willy.
This is, I think, proving my point.
You're just...
I think this is proving my point.
You're quietly dirty is what you're doing there. You're, like, annoying him, but he doesn't know it because you're so good at being quiet about it.
What's that guy doing over there? He's up to something, man.
I never understood, by the way. Sidebar. Yeah. I had friends with sisters. I didn't have any growing up.
Neither did I.
I never quite understood the idea of people that got so offended by people dating their sister.
Look, it's an okay theory to have.
Why are
and I'm
you
with
cool
you
to just date whoever
I also
you want.
Never had a hot sister, and I think it would have been really tough to have a hot sister. That would have been tough.
Why?
All of your friends wanting to sleep
they're
with your sister
dating,
your entire life.
But your sister has to make her own choices. they're not
does.
Dating you.
And then she picks one of them. And now you got a friend that's doing that to your sister.
I once had a friend say...
You want to hear stories about that?
Well, no.
No, you don't, do you?
Well, but they're not going to tell you the stories.
Did you hear stories about the other escapades with other girls?
Well, I mean, in that instance, probably.
Sure you did.
Wait, you just think your sister's going to be a
nun? Oh,
by
the way, I forgot to tell you that story I was telling you about. That was about your sister.
I had a friend in college literally look me in the eye and go, yeah, any guy dates my sister, I instantly want to kill him.
I mean, that's a little aggressive. I wouldn't go that far.
What is wrong with you?
Are you very protective of your younger sister, I'd imagine?
Well, it's different because...
It's a big age gap, so that's
a
little different.
It's a huge age gap, so yeah.
So what do you care if Andy sleeps with her?
I think it's tougher to have the older sister than the younger sister.
But I've had the reverse, where my friend's older sisters, they're more like...
Yeah, more protective over.
Yeah.
I think when you're the older guy in the scenario and the sister's younger, it's easier to be the big defender bully guy.
I just think it'd be cool, like, if you only grew up with a sister, right. It'd be kind of cool to have a brother, would it not? And if it becomes your best friend.
I mean, yeah, down the road, sure, there's a good outcome to this.
Who better to date your sister you get a than brother-in-law. Your best friend? You could get a brother-in-law. You got a golf partner for life, and he was already in your foursome.
I want a brother-in-law.
Better be forever.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, you're still gonna be with him.
He
in the divorce.
Cheats on him, and now how you feeling about it? Now you want him fired for his job.
I mean, I have somebody in my family's best friend was his brother-in-law, and that divorce was pretty awful, and now they're not friends at all.
You can't be. Now you lost a friend and a brother-in-law.
But a divorce happens. Like I still think I'm friends with the. If I have any of my brother-in-laws get divorced from my wife's sister,
right. I'm you get still... to remain friends?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why would I not still golf with them?
What if, yeah, is that going to be...
They have kids together.
Is that going to be acceptable in the family?
Eat me. It's my life.
Okay.
The simulation is my experience. Yes. Let me go golf with them.
You have the controller. You're
pressing
the buttons.
Their handicaps are kind of close to me. It's kind of nice to have people in your crew.
I think it would become a thing of, who are you going to go golfing with? Oh, a couple of buddies.
Swag, if you slept with my sister, who's your age, by the way, I would fully support you and welcome you into my tribe.
Nah,
you have disappointed me in this segment. Actually, you've disappointed me more than him.
Apples to oranges.
It's unbelievable. Why don't you be accepting of us sleeping with each other's families? Be open-minded. All right, a lot more to get into. Dirt and Sprague back with more on 105.1 The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot to get to in the third hour of the radio program. Good morning, Dirt and Sprague with you. Support your sister dating whoever she wants to date. It's the only takeaway of that segment.
Don't sleep on Joe.
You do you, boo. You do you.
Get ready, ladies of Portland.
Don't sleep
not
on
good.
Joe.
I enjoyed that. Not good. That's fantastic.
Not good.
How's Jan Hansen's NBA career gone so far?
Not good.
So many options. I did enjoy
how
this.
How we addressed our wing problem this offseason.
Not good.
And how about this to sum it all up? This whole getting upset when anyone you know dates your sister is just part of the fragile male ego.
Yeah, it
and
is.
The patriarchy double standard.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Support women's rights.
That's right.
They want to bone your best friend, let them do that. The two pants dance.
Not good.
Swag finding out Dirt slept with his sister. That's exactly what it would be out loud. We'll get into some football dealings coming up in the third hour of the radio program. I want to ask you quickly, the World Cup's this weekend.
It happened yesterday, too.
World Cup'd yesterday.
I missed both goals, so that was cool.
Mbappe continues to reign supreme.
Is he hurt or not hurt? Do we believe Mbappe? Are we worried about Mbappe?
Said he's all good.
Said he's okay.
He's got a few days before the semis.
Okay, he's got some time.
So France moves on. They take care of Morocco rather easily if you watched the match.
What a chalk tournament. Come on.
It's a lot like the NCAA tournament ends up always being chalk. It's weird. How it
France, Argentina, Spain, same teams there every year.
You get your Cape Baird.
Yeah, early fun little story. On, get a 15 a seed. Fun.
You ain't getting George Mason in that.
Not making it to the Final Four.
But I'm looking forward to Saturday. We've got multiple games on Saturday. The biggest one is obviously England and Norway.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the Norway fan, by the way?
Sorry. I get to anything?
Would you shut up over
you
there?
You hear one word and you're like, did you see the thing? Yeah, I did.
Did you see the thing? The thing? You saw the thing?
Not good.
It's me every segment. Welcome back in. Did you see the thing you're about to talk about?
I don't know what you're doing. I don't got a show sheet. I got no clue what's coming up here.
I did, actually. All jokes aside, there is one Norwegian fan, that when they row, you know, he is refusing to do it.
Yes.
And he's been photographed multiple times cross-armed in the middle of the entire
Is he like the thumbs down Yankee fan?
That's a pretty good description, yeah.
That is a very good description. He was asked, hey, because somebody found out who he is, why aren't you rowing?
Yeah.
You're pictured every time not participating in this. And he goes, I refuse to row. Even if they win the World Cup, I will not row. Because people were speculating, are you waiting to row for the World Cup win?
One big row at the end.
And he said, no, I don't care if they win the World Cup. I'm not rowing. And they said, what's your deal?
Yeah.
And he goes, Vikings didn't row. They sailed.
What an absolute loser.
Not good.
What an
get a life.
How do you,
somebody, you loser,
walk through life like that?
I don't know.
How about an idea? I got an idea for you. Okay, you ready for this? Have fun.
Yeah.
Does the row seem like fun?
Oh, we love it.
Is it historically accurate?
I bet you Vikings fans are going to do it this football season.
Who the hell cares if it's historically accurate?
Exactly.
You row after you win the game. They bang the drum, you go, huh. They bang the drum, you go, huh. It's that simple.
Erling Haaland banging a drum, I'm rowing.
Yes.
I'm never not rowing if that animal is banging the drum.
I got to be honest with you. It's like 45% of the reason I want to watch the Norway game this weekend, just to see whoever wins.
45%.
Both celebrations are...
Those are two good teams. Two great players.
I get it.
Three great players.
Yeah.
Okay,
nothing
that's
happens
fine.
For 40 minutes, but anyways, I digress. Nothing.
Well, that's not true.
Wonderwall or The Row.
Yeah.
They're both fantastic.
They're both great.
I'm one of these guys who gets swept up in the atmosphere and enjoy the post-game celebrations of the game being just in the middle of the day.
So Mbappe's been great. Messi's been messy. Harry Kane's been a great story as a slightly older player for England. As many people are noting, Erling Haaland is the story of the World Cup.
Did you see what happened yesterday when you Google his name?
Well, it depends on what story you're going to tell me. Is it the Tom Holland story?
No, if you literally just Google his name, there's little rowers that show up on Google.
That's hilarious.
It is.
He's become the biggest celebrity of the World Cup of any other athlete.
Without a doubt. I think in terms of a brand, like all the other names I have known. I don't watch soccer. I've heard all the other names.
You've never heard of him before.
I had not heard of this cat before the World Cup. And I'm like, hey, he's pretty good.
So part of the reason I think he fits so well, one, he's a Viking. Two, I think it's the look. I think it's the long hair, the bright blonde with the slick back.
Oh, yeah.
He fits. He fits Norway to a team.
He fits Norway to a team, but he also kind of fits the bro culture of America. So have you ever seen his diet? I read about this.
No.
is actually how I got introduced to him. When I started diving into Premier League stuff, an article came out about Erling Haaland, and I'm like, oh, okay, let's read about this guy.
He's an atypical soccer player. He looks more like a football player.
He's literally Josh Allen.
Yeah.
He's Josh Allen size playing soccer, okay? But his diet came out. Are you ready for the diet?
A lot of meat, a lot of protein.
You would be not shocked at all to find out that he is consuming 6,000+ calories a day.
Sounds right.
Okay. His diet basically consumes of waking up, eating ribeye, eggs, fish. He is a big believer, talking about American culture right now, big believer in raw milk.
All he drinks
is raw milk.
Raw milk.
There is a farm close to where he lives that he commutes 45 minutes to.
To go get his raw milk.
So he can feel the cow of the steak he's going to get. He says it makes him feel better about it. He then picks his cuts of the meat. He eats livers. He eats lamb heart. Didn't know people ate lamb heart.
Know that was a thing.
I saw it. It looks disgusting. He eats.
How do you prepare that?
He just eats it raw.
What?
However they make
it. He just
you know
takes
how you
the heart out of the body
you
and
just
eats
open
it?
A liver container, you can eat the liver. That's what he does with the lamb heart. He just bites it. Sometimes he blends it in with his beef.
What?
Eats a lot of ground beef.
What?
Dude, he
I think he's legitimately a Viking now. He sounds like an actual Viking.
Yeah. He was invited to go to dinner with Spider-Man's very own Tom Holland. You know, sharing a similar sounding name.
The Odyssey's own Tom Holland.
Spider-Man, yeah. Zendaya, Mr. Zendaya. He declined on text, and when somebody said, "Do you not like him?" he goes, "I didn't know who he was."
Yeah.
Said he texted me, "This is Tom Holland. I'd love to go to dinner with you. You've been a great story." And he said, "I'm good."
Who the hell's Tom Holland?
He
never
goes,
heard of him
I don't
before.
Watch movies. He doesn't watch movies.
This guy's my kind of soccer player.
This guy could quit the Premier League, come to America, get the biggest contract to yeah. ever see our brains be broken in ML history, host a podcast, and probably make more money at this point.
Probably. He's become a bit of a folk hero in America and his time here. And the diet is fascinating. The personality is great. The banging of the drum is fantastic. His brand has grown tenfold, just at least in the United States. I'm sure he was obviously huge in Europe already. But in the United States, he is now a recognizable name. And if they beat England this weekend and keep going, make it to the semifinal.
I mean, they're already the farthest their country's ever been.
Only going to continue to grow and get bigger, man. He's a lot of fun to watch.
It's the look. I think it's the look and the name.
Yeah.
Like, we know Messi. We've heard Mbappe.
It's also fun to have a different style player, right? Like, yeah. Messi's small, skilled, right? That you watch and you're like, oh, my God, how did he do that with a ball?
Kane, I mean, Mbappe.
Right. You
Kane,
see these guys all, are just
Messi. They all look
massive
same.
Guys yeah. that just can steamroll you.
Yeah, exactly. He's just much different than anybody else. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great match on Saturday, Norway and England. A lot to get to in the third hour of the program. It is a beautiful little Friday. Hour 3 and 4 next. Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, "I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me."
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.